You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single
everyone. Welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. I hope you are enjoying this beautiful month of August. I hope you're enjoyed even spending time outside. You know, our Canadian spring and summers, and they're not that long. And before you know it, that nasty white stuff will be back. And so let's make the most of it, right, brothers and sisters? Oh, yes, let's get outside and walk. And if you can, you know, even go for a car ride and just get to a park or near some water and just enjoy the beauty of God's landscape. Brothers and sisters, we're going to be continuing our talk regarding grandparents, and I opened up the lines for you in terms of sharing your pointers to becoming good grandparents, and what are the do's and don'ts. And I'm sure those out there in my listening audience are some grandparents out there who can give us some great advice. We are going to be brand new grandparents this month, and we are still waiting. And boy, you'll be one of the first people to know that we're grandparents officially. But we are waiting our grandson to come into this world, and we are truly blessed, truly blessed. So with that in mind, let's offer up a Hail Mary, shall we? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, my friends, I know that I'm awaiting your advice, and here is some advice I have discovered. And one of them, in terms of with grandchildren, is when they're old enough, let's say, you know, even 2-3 years old, you know, it's a perfect time to start introducing them to the, even maybe younger, but the love of nature, right? It's no secret that actually Pope Francis has made the love of nature and care of the environment a priority for every Christian. Yet it's not easy to love or care for something you don't know about. So today, many children do not know nature, right? You can see why. They often spend long hours in either daycare facilities and classrooms, and then their free time, what? Yes, right? It's spent in front of an electronic screen of some type. And so for all these reasons, exposing our grandchildren to the wonder and awe of God's creation might be a most important goal for grandparents. Pope Francis tells us in his encyclical On Care for Our Common Home, we were not meant, he said, to be inundated by cement, asphalt, glass, and metal, and deprived of physical contact with nature. He says, Let us take our grandchildren outside, he says. One of my friends told me that one of the most favorite activities they do is a night walk with their grandchildren. They carry actually flashlights and look at the moon and the stars. And on daytime walks, they stop and look at a butterfly and they take a look at its wings and they just spend some time, you know, investigating and observing nature. They pick up a pretty rock or run through the branches of a weeping willow. And they've even seen a spider spinning its web, right? Or even a baby snake that slithers off the path. So one grandmother said that she mentioned that she put up bird feeders in her yard and bought picture books to help her children, her grandchildren, identify the birds that visit. Isn't that wonderful? You know, grandparents can make a great visits to the library, and that's a wonderful place to spend time with your grandchild. And I'm so looking forward to doing just that. And so when we expose our grandchildren to nature, what are we doing? What are we doing, everybody? We're exposing them to God, right? The 18th century French philosopher Voltaire once said, "I cannot imagine how the clockwork of the universe can exist without a clockmaker." Pope Francis also reminds us that there is a divine artist who has crafted the beauty of each new season. The Holy Father wrote in his encyclical, "Creation can only be understood as a gift from the outstretched hand of the Father." What a beautiful image Francis paints of God reaching out his mighty hand to offer us a pretty tulip, a perfect snowflake, or a dawn that looks like, as one grandchild said, it swirled like colors of a lollipop. Doesn't that sound precious? Just so sweet. So the more we can teach our grandchildren to appreciate these wonders, the better the chance that they will want to preserve them in the future. In his 2015 address on the White House lawn, Pope Francis pleaded with Americans, when it comes to the care of our common home, we are living at a critical moment in history. We still have time to make the changes needed. Certainly, we do not want our grandchildren to raise their own children in a world that has become too much of an industrial wasteland. Let us actively work to teach them to love and care for all God's creation. So that's one thing I've learned. And the next thing is, my friends, and those of you, and I certainly don't want to get caught in this, but as we become grandparents, and I'm sure it's going to happen, but I'm kind of hoping I don't fall into this, but respecting their parents' wishes, right? So as much as you would like to do something or buy something for them, and or whether it's a certain treat or a certain whatever, that if your daughter or your son have told you, this is what we don't want to see this in our home, we don't want our children to be exposed to that, you have to respect that. And I think one of the hardest jobs for a grandparent might be to keep our mouths shut. And I'm not saying it in a rude way. I'm actually trying to say it in a very compassionate and sincere way. But today's world is vastly different, my friends. And even for me, you know, from the 70s, it's very different today, right? So today's world is vastly different from the world in which we raised our children. And this presents the current parents with challenges that we didn't face. Today's parents need to determine how to care their beloved child through a raging sea of new technologies, advanced medical research, alarming social trends, and demanding expectations. Right? Our advice may not always be up to date or wanted, right? They don't ask you, don't offer. That's pretty well the key. They don't offer, they don't ask your advice, don't hand it out to them. Yeah, I know. And that's where those three words, silence is golden. I'm going to remind myself that myself. Silence is golden. So young parents today must make their own rules based on new research and information. And this is good. This is progress. It has been that way since the beginning of time. Jesus encouraged this. He taught, have you not read from the beginning of the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife and the two shall become one flesh. Right? So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate. So for a husband or wife to leave his or her parents and cling to a spouse must also mean leaving behind some of their own parents' traditions, expectations, or philosophies. This can be painful for everyone. Yet, unless the very life of the grandchild is in danger, grandparents must respect the wishes of the new parents, the new family. We can't separate the man and wife because of our own wishes. And some of us don't like that, but if you want to save your nerves and you want to have a lasting relationship with your children and your own biological children, then keep your opinions, and we must keep our opinions to ourselves, right? Years ago, in a course on the theology of marriage, a professor said the most important thing you can do for your child is to love his or her spouse. Pope Francis actually emphasized this by telling spouses it's irresponsible to disparage the other parent as a means of winning a child's affection or out of revenge or self-justification. All right, so between the two of them. Doing so will affect the child's interior tranquility and will cause wounds hard to get rid of in the future. Okay? It's hard to heal. And if this is the Pope's advice for parents, it's certain. Well, I'm going to say that if this is the Pope's advice for parents, well, guess what? It's definitely the advice for grandparents too. Yeah. For the sake of the children, we must honor their parents in every way possible. Children need to know that their parents are both wise and lovable. This leads us to the fourth commandment. Honor your father and mother that you may have a long life in the land of the Lord, your God is giving you. Teaching our grandchildren this commandment is a great way to pass our faith to them. However, it will be enough to just tell them, do what your mommy and daddy tell you. We too must do what their mommy and daddy wish. Giving our grandchildren the idea that it's okay to disobey, it's not okay at all, actually. So let us always honor the parents who have blessed us with precious grandchildren, okay? And then to help them be content. Contentment is probably one of the best feelings in the world, isn't it? It wraps us in peace and gratitude and joy. It's like a little taste of heaven here on earth. And it's a gift we surely want to give our grandchildren. A secret for contentment can be found in Psalm 23. And it's that well-known verse, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I lack. Older versions of the psalm often say, I shall not want. We hold on to this line as a promise from God. We trust God will lead us someday to a place of perfect peace and harmony and contentment. However, maybe we would be more content right now if we took the words, I shall not want, as a command rather than just a promise. Wanting too much is almost always leads us to discontent, right? right? So it's not easy to stop wanting, I know, right? The advertising industry specializes in that, in making us want things more and more, as if we're lacking in need, right? Our economy thrives on us being dissatisfied with what we have, instead of being grateful for the blessings God has given us. We often dwell on the things we still want. Adam and Eve lost paradise because they wanted more than they had. Nothing has ever been perfect since then. So having more will not make us happier. If we can accept this in our own lives, we'll be able to steer our grandchildren away from the endless material temptations that rob them of contentment, right? So I'm just keeping tabs of my time, that's all. All right, my friends. Well, there's a lot to think about, isn't there, friends? It's not easy being a parent. Well, it's a little doubly harder to be a grandparent because you think, well, I've gone through life. I know about children. I've raised 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 children. I've raised them. I know. But brothers and sisters, we have to respect our children too. We give them credit. We raise them as best as we could. And we know that they are smart people, that they'll make the right decision for their family. And their family, my friends, is different than yours. Their dynamics, what they deal with, how their lifestyle is different. And and that's a great thing. You know, my parents grew up extremely poor, immigrants from Europe coming to Canada with nothing. Right? So they scrimped and they saved and they rented. They had bought a house and they rented the top part of the house to another family. And then for a good part of my upbringing, I was raised by babysitters because parents were on shift work. So I never saw my parents together. Maybe on a weekend. That's when I saw my parents together, was on weekends. But Monday through Friday, I would see one of them and the other one would be sleeping. And so I went through that. Okay. Then I grew up. And of course, I had some of the values my parents instilled in me, for sure. But things also changed then too. You know, when I got married, my lifestyle was different than theirs. I did have the mindset, mind you, to save money, save, and to pay off, and don't owe anything. And yes, we did save our money, and we paid off our home, and we were quite proud of what happened to us. And all of a sudden, one car breaks down, the second car that was a used car, it breaks down. All of a sudden, we've got another little mortgage. And then we had children going into different things in college or university, and then changing their minds after you've paid tuition. And you know, I mean, it was a challenge. So speeding tickets, we've endured, you know, things. And all of a sudden, the money that we had accumulated had slowly depleted, right? And so again, we were scrimping and saving, right? But today's generation, well, there's something called skip the dishes, right? There's something called fresh food or fresh something. Yeah. So, you know, I'm cooking 24/7. We cook all the time at home. We make our own coffee at home. We once in a month maybe order a pizza between my husband and I. But really, basically, we're homebodies and everything is home cooked. But then I phoned my daughter and thinking, oh, maybe, you know, she must be struggling because, you know, well, she's pregnant and she was teaching and husband is teaching and busy and life is busy and it is demanding. And the next thing you know, she says, oh, no, we just did the skip to dishes or we're going to be going out. And my husband and I rarely went out. So is that a bad thing? Of course not, right? Their mindset is different, right? They're living their life and they're saving their money, but they're allowing themselves to live a bit, which is a mistake I think we did as a husband and wife. We didn't go anywhere. You know, we were so focused on paying off the house that really we didn't go anywhere. Mind you, when we had the children, we would go to events that I mentioned in the last broadcast, and those events were all free. There was no cost to attending an event. It was just free activities for children and their families if they've got nothing to do throughout the summer months. And boy, we capitalized on that. And that was fun, and the kids enjoyed it. But if you ask them today, do you remember? They don't remember a thing. They could call us liars. We didn't go anywhere, but we did. We really did, and we made the most of it. So, you know, brothers and sisters, those of you who are grandparents, don't judge your children, right? Let them live their life according to their life today. Your life, hopefully nobody interfered in your life that you could raise your son and daughter the way you wanted. So allow them to do the same. And yes, they will make mistakes just like you did, just like your parents did, right? So this is how we all learn, but we must be patient. We must be sensitive. We must be with our mouths closed, and don't offer up something that they weren't asking for. If they didn't ask for it, please keep your opinions to yourself. And that's something I have learned. And I've seen another relative who barges into her daughter and husband's house and decides she's going to do the laundry. Well, the one spouse works from home, and then one of the kids is studying from university, but it was online. So, like, you know, already there's noise, but this particular grandparent feels that she's entitled to go into her daughter's house. But it's not right, brothers and sisters. It's not right. We need to be respectful. We need to be respectful and give them their space. They have their own space. They are a family unto themselves. Right? So you can love them, cherish them, help them when they ask for it, give them advice when they ask for it. Other than that, you know, focus on yourself. Don't bother being preoccupied about what goes on in their life, right? So we need to create fun memories. Fun memories are more cherished than souvenirs, right? The world is not meant to be a shopping mall. We should look for it. We should look at it more as a museum. So let us admire without hoping that we all have seen in the parable of the sower and the seed. Jesus tells us endless wanting and discontent can destroy our spiritual lives. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. So when we help our grandchildren be content with what they have, we are setting the stage for them to follow the gospel more fully. They will be more generous when they are not always wanting more for themselves. They will be more compassionate when they are not envious. And they will be more joyful when they realize how much God has already blessed them. So let us give them this gift of contentment. It's really worth more than anything we could buy in any store. And here is a precious little prayer that I'm going to share with you from Pope Francis. It's not Pope Francis. It's Pope Benedict. Pope Benedict the 16th. It's just a short little one. And we're not closing yet, but it's just a precious little prayer. Lord Jesus, you were born of the Virgin Mary. Look with love on grandparents the world over. Protect them. They are a source of enrichment for families, for the church, and for all society. Support them. Protect them. As they grow older, may they continue to be, for their families, strong pillars of gospel faith, guardian of noble domestic ideals, living treasuries of sound religious traditions. Make them teachers of wisdom and courage. May they pass on to future generations the fruits of their mature human and spiritual experience. Lord Jesus, help families and societies to value the presence and roles of grandparents. May they never be ignored or excluded. but always encounter respect and love. Help them to live serenely and to feel welcomed in all the years of life which you have given them. Mary, Mother of all the living, keep grandparents constantly in your care. Accompany them on their earthly pilgrimage, and by your prayers, grant that all families may one day be reunited in the heavenly homeland, where you await all humanity for the great embrace of life without end. Amen. So there you have a lovely prayer, and I'm just going to share another little important thing that I discovered. So just checking time here. Okay, we're doing good. And just checking my other clock. I've got a couple of minutes, I do believe. No? Yes, a couple of minutes. All right. 2017 Statistics Canada reported that 5% of grandparents said they were living in the same household with their grandchildren. That is up slightly from 4% in 1995. An Angus Reid survey in 2013 found that a third of grandparents see their grandchildren at least once a week, compared to just 1 in 10 who see their grandchildren only once every 7 to 12 months. So a recent released Vanier Institute of the Family Snapshot of Grandparents in Canada notes the difference between immigrant and non-immigrant grandparents. Immigrant grandparents are more than twice as likely to live with their grandchildren, owing to a complex interplay of choice, culture, and circumstance. The statistical picture makes this Father's Day filled with intergenerational meaning, and also comes smack in the middle of a month designated in some provinces, including Ontario, as Seniors Month. Rachel grew up with her grandfather and grandmother as constants. When she was a baby, she and her parents lived with her grandparents in the same house. And when she went off to kindergarten, it was her grandfather who drove her there and picked her up and played with her after school. She liked to imitate what she learned at the school and then repeat that with him. But she would reverse the roles, said the grandfather. She becomes the teacher and he became the student. Rachel refers to her grandfather and grandmother as Pollyanna, as pretty much her second parents. They are a presence in my entire life, she says. They've always been. The close connection has given Rachel a strong sense of who she is spiritually and culturally. Though her parents chose a public high school for her, thanks to her deacon, grandfather, Rachel feels grounded in her Catholic faith, though her parents rarely attend Sunday Mass. Grandpa calls them CEOs who attend Christmas, Easter, and other occasions. She is in church pretty regularly with her grandparents. You've heard of that term, CEOs? They come only Christmas, Easter, and other occasions. Her grandparents also incorporated Cantonese into her daily life, so that on a recent trip to Hong Kong, she found she could get by pretty fairly well. Most of all, Rachel has noticed the quiet, steady, honest values of her hardworking immigrant grandparents. I'm going to carry that with me my entire life, she said, because the obvious reliance on grandparents for childcare, grandparents are also making financial sacrifices for their grandchildren, working longer, taking out second mortgages. And brothers and sisters, this is maybe you're in this situation yourself. You might have known about this. Anyways, my friends, my time is up and I will have to continue next time. So send me some pointers on being good grandparents. God bless. And thanks so much for being with me here on The Father's Quilt. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. I wouldn't change a single day.